Hello, I'm Barrister Daniel Barnett from Outer Temple Chambers, and welcome to episode 68 of Employment Law Matters. This week's episode is on changing terms and conditions following a 2P transfer. It's a particularly fraught question when dealing with 2P transfers. To what extent can employers and employees agree to change the terms and conditions of a transferring employee?
Welcome to Employment Law Matters with Barrister Daniel Barnett.
This issue first arose in the 1980s with the Daddy's Dancehall case. We'll put links to the full names of cases in the show notes, where the European Court of Justice held that an employee could not waive their rights under 2P. While employers and employees were as free to agree new terms and conditions after the transfer as they were before, the transfer itself could never be a valid reason for the change. And this rule was eventually enshrined in 2P 2006 Regulation 4.4, which says that any purported variation in a contract of employment that's being transferred under 2P will be void if the transfer is the sole or principal reason for the variation.
Search Daniel Barnett for Employment Tribunal advice and representation.
The first thing I'm going to discuss is whether improved terms are void under 2P, because Regulation 4.4 seems, on the face of it, to apply to any variation of the contract, irrespective of whether or not the purported variation is to the benefit of the employer or the employee. Before the 2006 regulations were introduced and the rules on varying contracts were governed by case law, the position seemed to be that only changes to the detriment of the employee were banned. In Regent Security Services and Power, a case in which I appeared, an employee was dismissed when he reached the age of 60, even though when he was transferred across to his new employer, he agreed to a contract increasing his retirement age to 65. This happened, by the way, before age discrimination was unlawful and at a time when an employee could be fairly dismissed on reaching retirement age. The employer argued the change in his retirement age was invalid under 2P. If it was invalid under 2P, it meant his retirement age remained 60 and it meant that he couldn't bring an unfair dismissal claim. The Court of Appeal disagreed. 2P, said the Court of Appeal, was designed to protect the employee and there was no need to protect him against improvements in his terms and conditions, i.e. extending his retirement age to 65, and so he could rely on that higher retirement age. The Employment Appeal Tribunal has now reached the opposite conclusion in a case called Ferguson and Astrea Asset Management, holding that Regulation 4.4 means that even improvements in terms and conditions will be invalid if the reason for them is the transfer itself. In Ferguson, the employees, who were senior managers and directors in the business being transferred, awarded themselves hefty additional bonuses that would become payable after the transfer, along with other improvements in their terms and conditions. When the new employer discovered what they'd done, it dismissed them for gross misconduct. Perhaps no surprise there. One of the issues that subsequently reached the Employment Appeal Tribunal was whether these contractual improvements were valid, and the EAT held they weren't. The EAT said the purpose of 2P was to strike a fair balance between the rights of employer and employee. The language of Regulation 4.4 made it clear that any change in terms would be void if they were because of the transfer, and there was no reason to exclude terms, said the EAT, that happened to benefit the employee. Now, on the facts of this case, this seems like a fair outcome. The employees appear to have been trying to use 2P to exploit their new employer by introducing changes that had no commercial justification. It was also telling that they'd agreed the changes would be reversed for any employee who didn't, in the end, transfer to the new employer. But there is a wider argument here. Suppose, for example, the new employer were to agree an improvement in an employee's terms and conditions in order to assuage their fears about the effect of a transfer. Could they really then renege on the deal and argue that agreed variation was void? Well, if the EAT in Ferguson is right, then that's clearly a danger. It is worth noting the government's guidance on TUPE states clearly that the regulations don't prevent employees from benefiting from improvements in their terms and conditions. Now, the EAT pointed out in Ferguson that the guidance has no legal effect and it was inconsistent with the wording of the regulations themselves. Nevertheless, it's clear this argument is likely to raise its head again. It went one way in Power and Regent Security, it went another way in Ferguson, and maybe the Court of Appeal needs to look at this issue.
Check out Daniel Barnett's books on Amazon.
Now, the Ferguson case may well go to the Court of Appeal, but whatever the final outcome on the issue, the limitations placed on the party's ability to negotiate new terms and conditions following a TUPE transfer will remain a problem for employers. Many employers are frustrated that they can't bring the terms and conditions of transferred employees into line with those of their existing staff. Now, TUPE does allow for some changes in some circumstances. Regulation 4.5 says the employer can make changes that are permitted under a variation clause that's already in the employee's contract. It also provides that a change will be valid if it's for an economic, technical, or organisational reason entailing changes in the workforce. The problem is that neither of these options is likely to allow for the harmonisation of terms and conditions. Variation clauses are rarely drafted widely enough, and changes in the workforce have to involve a change in its size or composition. Harmonisation per se doesn't meet that test. And this, as the Court of Appeal held in 2014 in Manchester College and Hazel, is the case even where the harmonisation takes place alongside a redundancy exercise. The economic, technical or organisational reason has to entail a change in the workforce, not just coincide with one. Now, in a 2014 amendment to TUPE, the government tried to give employers more leeway by providing that a change in terms can be agreed 12 months after the date of the transfer. Unfortunately, though, this only applies to terms and conditions derived from a collective agreement. What's more, the change is only valid if the new terms are overall no less favourable to the employee than they were before. Quite how that's to be measured or determined is far from clear, and it's probably best to stay away from this mechanism altogether.
Win one of Daniel's books. Leave a review on the podcast store now.
The better approach is simply to accept that harmonisation of terms and conditions per se after a TUPE transfer is generally not possible. If that means that employees doing the same jobs are actually employed on different terms and conditions, then so be it. This shouldn't lead, as sometimes employers worry about, to equal pay claims. The key question in an equal pay claim is the reason for any difference in pay, and the operation of TUPE provides a clear and non-discriminatory answer to that question. The Employment Appeal Tribunal held in Skills Development Scotland Co Limited and Buchanan that TUPE provides a material factor defence to an equal pay claim, even when the difference in pay persisted several years after the transfer. The fact that harmonisation of terms isn't possible doesn't mean, though, that employees who have transferred may never agree new terms and conditions. There are many reasons why an employer might want to change terms that have nothing to do with the TUPE transfer. For example, there might have been a major change in the employer's economic position, which requires a reduction in costs. Maybe the need of the employer's clients have changed, so the work needs to be organised in a different way. Maybe, when changes are made along those lines, the result is that all employees are then engaged on a common set of terms and conditions, but that shouldn't cause any difficulty. If harmonisation is simply an incidental consequence of changes motivated by the needs of the business, quite separate from any TUPE transfer, then the law doesn't prevent that. The best advice, if you're an employer seeking to change terms and conditions because of a transfer, is don't. Changes that have nothing to do with a transfer, however, are perfectly permissible as long as they're agreed in the appropriate way. If the changes are taking place soon after a TUPE transfer, you as an employer should be particularly careful to explain the business reasons lying behind them, and be careful and be able to demonstrate that they'd be necessary even if the TUPE transfer hadn't taken place. And whatever you do, in your contemporaneous notes explaining those reasons, do not mention the H word. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please do subscribe and leave a review on the podcast store or the Apple iTunes store. I have recently written, it came out about 6 months ago, a book called Deconstructing TUPE. It's a very small book. Its level of knowledge is aimed to be that of the law undergraduate. So if you're an HR professional or a junior solicitor who doesn't know a lot about TUPE, get hold of a copy of the book, read it. It's less than 100 pages long. And it gives you everything you need to know about TUPE deconstructed in nice, simple, straightforward language. You can get hold of a copy of that and all my other books on Amazon by going to amazon.co.uk and searching for Deconstructing TUPE, or indeed searching for my name, Daniel Barnett. Or if you join the HR Inner Circle, my membership club for smart, ambitious, standalone HR professionals at www.hrinnercircle.co.uk, you'll get copies of all my small books as soon as they're published. We typically publish two a year. Plus, you'll be sent all the books published to date, including Deconstructing TUPE. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Daniel Barnett. Bye-bye.
Any information on this podcast is for general guidance only. Always seek legal advice. Please see full terms at www.danielbarnett.co.uk/podcast-terms.